God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. And now this morning, God, I pray that you would confirm your promise that your word is living and powerful, and that your spirit would use it this morning to draw us to you, to speak to our hearts, to help us follow Jesus better. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. There's something that you see in the Bible from beginning to end that is a theme that goes through the whole Bible. It goes through the book of Ezekiel too, as we'll see, but it goes through the whole Bible, and that is the idea that God speaks to people through messengers. God always speaks to people, well, not always, sometimes he speaks directly to people, more in the Old Testament, but God, something that from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, God speaks to people through messengers. The messengers are sent from God, and they warn, they communicate God's word, they tell of God's, what we've seen the last couple of weeks, of God's love, of how God loves us, and also of his justice, of his wrath, of his punishment, of the fact that he loves us and he's created us in his image, but we've rebelled against him and he calls us back to him. God is always, it seems, as you read the Bible, sending messengers to speak his words to the people around them. That's just a theme of the Bible. So you see prophets like Jonah, who was specifically sent to the people of Nineveh, very good. He didn't want to go. He eventually went. He was sent there to speak God's word to them. Sometimes through priests. God would speak through priests. So you have the book of Ezra, the book of Ezra about Ezra the priest and his teaching the people God's word for them, God's message to them. Or you have kings like Solomon, who God gave wisdom so he could lead the people in God's ways. God is always, throughout history, speaking his words through his messengers to the people that he would have be his people. And the big idea, and this doesn't come from Ezekiel. In fact, to see how what we're going to look at Ezekiel even applies to us, we have to start in the New Testament and look at what God says about us. The big idea for this morning's message is that, and we could dive into this, but this seems to be like 60 seconds. God's children are his messengers in this world. God's children are his messengers in this world. Are we the only way that God speaks in this world? No. He says that he speaks through creation. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He pricks people's consciences and draws. But one of the principal ways through which God communicates his message to people in this world is through his children. So God's children are his messengers. God asks all of his children to be his messengers. And if something inside of you goes, whoa, 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 wait a second, are you me? If I'm God's child, am I supposed to be? Well, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 28. We've read this enough, even just on Sundays, that this should be a memory verse, but we should have in memory, but we could read it from the Bible. When I know it by memory, I think, but then when I try to quote it, when I'm teaching it, it doesn't come out right, so we'll read it together. Jesus said, came and told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples or followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus says to his followers, help other people become my followers. Speak my words to them. Show them what it means. Show them and tell them what it means to be in a relationship with the Father. And then help them get to this point where they say, yes, I want to make my decision to repent, to be baptized, to follow Jesus. And if you've ever helped anyone walk down that path, you know that that takes words. That takes speaking to help someone walk down that path, doesn't it? And then he says, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. God, Jesus' followers are his messengers to the world. Look at 2 Corinthians. Paul's even more explicit as he teaches this. In 2 Corinthians 5, we'll start in verse 17. The whole chapter's good. Read it this afternoon. It's a good chapter. But we'll start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So he gives a summary of what it means to be connected to God through Christ. We're new. It says God makes us new people. And then he says, he turns and he says, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and, look at what it says, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, so explaining what is that ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So he says God is taking people who have rebelled against him, and he's forgiving their sins and bringing them into a relationship with himself. And as part of that, when someone comes into a relationship with the Father, he or she is given the work, the job, the ministry of helping other people come into a relationship with the Father. That's just how it's supposed to work, is what Paul's saying. And then look at verse 20, and he's very, very explicit in case there's any doubt. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Meditate on verse 21 this afternoon. That is the gospel. We are far from God, and in Christ we can be united to the Father and made perfect in the Father's eyes. That is the gospel. And Paul says in the verse before that, we are Christ's ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? He represents the country that he comes from to someone else, to another country, to another people. He said that's what we are from Christ to everyone around us. We represent Christ. If you're a child of God, you are a messenger of God to the people around you. Like I said, there's verse after verse after verse in the New Testament talk about that. But that is the idea. As God's children, we're his messengers. Messengers from a God who throughout time has sent messengers to communicate his word to the people around them. And that is equally inspiring and terrorizing. Is that the right way to say it in English? It fills you with fear. It's inspiring and at the same time fills you with fear. Why? Well, because it's inspiring because we all know people who we love, who we desperately would like to be in a relationship with God. And just the thought, I could be part of that. I could be part of the connection of God's power and that person's life through my words, through speaking with them, through being their friend, through praying for them, through talking. I could be part of the reason why someday they get baptized, why they become a child of God. That would be incredible, wouldn't it? I mean, you could think of people in your life and that they need that. They desperately need that. You want that for them. And so it's this incredibly inspiring idea that not just we could be part of that, but God says, hey, that is your purpose. You're my child. You're my messenger to them. That's inspiring. Also fills us with fear. Fills us with fear because, oh my goodness, just the thought of talking to other people about God. Something about that is just terrifying. And so you think about then those very same people as you were picturing them a moment ago that are important to you, that you would love to see connected to the Father, and thinking, I could be part of that, inspires you, but then at the same time thinking about talking to them about Jesus. Now when you think about that, isn't that kind of a terrifying thought? Me actually speaking, that might make our friendship weird. That might make them make fun of me the next time we have a family get together. They might think that I'm that weird Jesus person who's always talking about God, and then now they're going to start avoiding me. I don't want that. I don't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to say. And then we start on the inside, start shaking. It fills us with fear, just the thought that we are supposed to be Christ's messengers. And if you're a Christian, I'm sure that as you've read the Bible and heard teaching, you know that you're supposed to be Christ's messenger. And I think that it kind of a universal feeling, I feel it, you probably do too, is that we know we should be talking more about God. And we're not quite sure how. We're not quite sure what to say. And we're not quite sure, even if we did, if we could. And if you're not a Christian, if you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, you haven't repented and been baptized, you've probably been around enough to know, okay, when I become a Christian, I'm going to have to talk about God to other people. That's going to be expected to me. And maybe one of the reasons why an underlying reason why you haven't become a Christian is because Well, you know that that's going to be expected of you. And the longer you put off becoming a Christian, well, you kind of get an out on that one. Because if you're not a Christian, you're not expected to be a messenger of God. And so as we think about being God's messengers and kind of the terror that wells up inside of us when we think about doing that and how do we do that, we find, I think, great help in the example of Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel was one of the messengers that God sent in his time to his people to speak his words to his people. And as we look at the way God sent Ezekiel and what God told Ezekiel and how God told Ezekiel to speak and who he said to speak to and why he said to speak, as we look at that, I think there's a lot of direct applications that we can apply directly to our lives as we, as God's children, are God's messengers in our time to the people around us. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're just going to read straight through and explain and think about it as we do this. If you find reading the Bible hard, I know there's many here who reading the Bible is something you've done and you know how to read a text and then think through it. If you're not in that group, if you're in the group that says, I read the Bible and it's just kind of a blur, I don't get it, I don't know how to figure it out, all we're going to do this morning is read through the text and just say, okay, what is he saying here? What is he saying here? What is he saying here? And apply that to us. And so this is a way that you can read the Bible for yourself as well, just with any passage. So in chapter 2, Ezekiel has just seen, if you remember all the way back at the beginning of the series, chapter 1, Ezekiel saw a vision of God, the all-powerful God, and then immediately, look at what happens in chapter 2. Then he said to me, God said to Ezekiel, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And he spoke to me, and the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. So this directly, in the midst of thinking about being God's messengers and the thought of the fear that induces in us, and how do I do that? Who do I say? What do I do? God comes with strength and with courage. And even in his initial call to Ezekiel, it's a call of filling him with strength, of filling him with courage. It's saying to us, you don't have to look inside yourself for strength to talk about Jesus. You don't have to. Have you ever felt like you had to get up the nerve and get up the, if I could just psych myself up, I can talk to that person about Jesus? You don't have to do that. Why? Because God comes to us, and when he leads us to speak to other people, he fills us with his strength and his courage through his Spirit. And then look at verse 3. He said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord. Why do we speak God's word? Why should we speak God's word? Why should we feel like we have to speak God's message to the people around us? Why should we do that? Well, God starts off by laying it out for Ezekiel, saying, I'm sending you. In the same way Paul said, we are Christ's ambassadors. In the same way Jesus said to his disciples, as you go, make other followers. God comes to Ezekiel and says, I am sending you. I'm sending you. You're going to talk for me. And let me be real clear, just in case you're thinking, well, does that mean preaching up in front on a platform on Sunday? Well, sometimes it does. But more often, it's sitting around your dinner table or in your living room with some people in a small group setting, speaking God's word to them. And even more often, it's you and one other person sitting down and drinking a cup of coffee or tea or whatever beverage you consume and talking about God with them. It's most of the time, it is not a public thing. Most of the time, it's just you and another person speaking God's word. And why do you do that? Well, because God says to. And that leads us to one of the parts I don't like about this. If God is telling us to do it, then not doing it is disobedience. It's disobedience. Not speaking God's word to the people around us, not being God's messengers to the people around us, is disobedience. Going into all the world and making followers of Jesus, being Christ's ambassadors, if God is sending us, not doing that is disobedience. But then we think, well, I know if I talk to them, they're not going to change. I've already talked to them. They're not going to change. I've prayed for them for 5 years. They're no closer to wanting to study the Bible or to coming to church than they were at the beginning. I don't see any change happening in that person. We do what we talked about a few weeks ago, and we kind of analyze how likely is it that they would change. Well, the more unlikely, the more messy their lives are, the farther away they are from God, it seems there's no hope. They're not going to change. So why would I even talk? And we talk ourselves out of talking about Jesus before we even talk about Jesus by thinking it's not going to work. And most of the time, humanly speaking, it won't work. But you know what? Doesn't matter. Look at what it says in verse 5. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. God said it doesn't matter if the people that you speak my message to change or not. It does matter, but as far as determining whether you or I speak, doesn't matter. Our job is to speak God's words. Ezekiel's job was to speak God's word. Who's the one who changes hearts? Can you manipulate someone to change their heart? Think about it. You can manipulate someone and change their behavior, right? How long does that last? Until you're not around. You can't manipulate someone or push someone until they change their heart. Who changes their hearts? Only God. God says, that's my responsibility. I'll take care of that. Whether I save them or not, that's my job. You speak my words to them. That's your job. It doesn't matter if you think they're going to change or not. Sometimes you're surprised because God changes the hearts of the most hardened people. And sometimes you're surprised because the people you think are the closest to God, their hearts don't change. Doesn't matter as far as it relates to our job. Our job is to speak God's word to them. Even so, humanly speaking, thinking about talking about God to other people, we're fearful. You say, I know that I should. I know it doesn't matter if they change, but I still don't want to. I'll tell you what, every time, see, I don't know. There's something about being in front that you assume, well, of course, for you, it's probably easy to talk about God. Not so. As soon as this is over, I go back into my little shell. They call it my cave. It's my office. I have my music on, the door shut. It's nice and it's cozy. It's private. It's me. It's where I do my programming and my work. I like being in there. I like being by myself. Every time that I know that I'm supposed to ask someone if they want to study, a friend who I've been friends with, who we've been talking about Jesus, and I know it's time to ask them, could we sit down and talk about, do a study, the Peace with God book or whatever study, could we study? Every time I feel my knees literally shaking, my hands start shaking, I can barely talk and my voice starts shaking. It's fearful. We're fearful when we think about talking about God, unless you're totally different and you don't have that fear. But for those of us who do, the next verse is for us. Look at verse 6. And you, son of man, look at what God tells him. Be not afraid of them. Nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Say, remember who you're talking to, and remember who's sending you. God sends us to be his messengers, the all-powerful God of the universe. And even though we will feel uncomfortable, even though we'll be made fun of, you know, that's something I heard this week from a missionary in a seminar message that I heard online of a missionary who was in, I think, Iran or maybe Emirates or some one of the countries in the Middle East. He said that in America, our persecution is, you know, people might laugh at us or make a little joke about us behind our back or look at us funny or avoid us at the next party. Their persecution is you go to jail, maybe you die. Different levels of persecution, but even so, that makes us uncomfortable, and it's enough to make us not talk. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know if it's going to work. I feel uncomfortable. I'm scared. And God says, "Remember, you're speaking on my behalf to people who have rebelled against me. Don't let them fear you. Don't be afraid of them. Why would you be afraid of them? They're made in my image. They desperately need to be restored to me. But they're a rebellious people." You're supposed to speak on my behalf to them. And you say, okay. So maybe if I get over the fear, even so, I don't know what I would say. Never been to seminary. Never been to seminary. I'm not a preacher. What am I going to say? Maybe you're a new Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you can't remember the last time that you had a study with someone who wasn't a Christian. You can't remember the last time that you sat down with someone who was a Christian who was wandering away from God, and you could see them wandering away, and you saw it, and you felt like you needed to say something. And you can't remember the last time that you had something that you were able to say. And you said, I don't know. I barely read the Bible myself. How am I supposed to speak God's message to other people? How does that work? I don't have any words to say. I wouldn't know what to say. I would say, hey, can we talk about Jesus? And then, or I need to talk with you. And then as soon as the coffee comes, I wouldn't know what, no words would be there. What do I say? Well, God tells Ezekiel what to say. And he gives an answer to that question. Look at verse 7. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was on it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll, and go, and speak to the house of Israel. And I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. And then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. Then look at verse 10 in chapter 3. Verse 10 in chapter 3. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart, hear them with your ears, and go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Hear what God's saying to Ezekiel? Speak my words. Speak my words to them. And then he describes something that's very helpful for us, because we have God's word. He says, how do I know what your words are? God hands out, gives him a scroll. What's a scroll? It was their version of a book. So it was like an arm appeared with a book on it, and whether it was literal or not, it was a vision, and he was saying, eat this, take it inside of you. In verse 10, open your ears, hear what I'm saying. He's saying, internalize my words. And let me tell you, if we're going to be God's messengers, if we're going to have something to say to the people around us, if we're going to take God's word to them, so you know what we have to do? We have to let God's word get inside of us. That's why we have to read the Bible. Do you read the Bible for you? Yes. Do you read the Bible so that the living word of God is inside of you? And okay, remember the verse where Jesus said, the Spirit, when he comes, he will remind you of everything that I have said. Remember that verse in John 14 or John 16, the last part of John? When we read the Bible, we're giving the Holy Spirit things that he can remind us of. You don't read the Bible. What is he going to bring to your mind that Jesus said? What is he going to remind you of? But as we read the Bible, we're filling ourselves with the Word of God in the same way that God said to Ezekiel, take my word and eat it. Let it fill you up. Listen to it. Let it come in you, and then speak my word to other people. Let me tell you, there is nothing like, I believe that the Spirit guides us. When Jesus said the Spirit of my Father will give you the words to say, I believe that. I believe that the Spirit brings to mind what everything that Jesus said. I believe that. But you know what? The more that we read of God's living active word, the more the Spirit has to bring to mind, the more that he guides us into all truth, because we have truth within us. And he uses that to come bring it out of us and speak God's word to the people around us. So read God's word so that you will have something to say to the people around you. Because if you are God's child, you are his messenger to them. It's very important. We have to read this. Also, though, let me just give you don't have to have read the whole Bible or be a Bible scholar to speak God's word to anyone else. If you're God's child and you've read one verse today, you have something that God can use to speak to the people around you. So it's not as if you say, I'm going to wait for a few years and really read my Bible, really know my Bible, then I can speak on behalf of God. Not how it works. It's not a reason not to speak on behalf of God. It is a reason to read our Bible every day. And then look at verse 6. Because now we say, okay, I get it. I'm supposed to be God's messenger. I'm supposed to speak his word to them, to people around me. Who am I supposed to talk to? What am I supposed to say? Who am I supposed to, who are these people that I'm supposed to be God's messenger to? I'm not sure. Am I a missionary? Do I go to China? What does that look like for me? Look at what he says to Ezekiel in verse chapter 3, verse 4. He said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel. Go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. You are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of foreign speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart." Now see what he's saying? Go to the people around you. Wherever God's put you, this is the message of Acts 17. God determines the times and the places where we will live so that we will seek after him. That also means he determines the times and places where you are living so that you can help others seek after him. Which means that wherever you are, wherever God calls you to be, if it's Lincoln right now or maybe China someday, wherever it is, we're supposed to be God's messengers to the people around us. And there's three specific kinds of situations that we're supposed to speak into. We're supposed to speak about to the people around us about what we see. So sometimes that means, like Galatians 6 says, when if you're a Christian and you see another Christian starting to go down a path that's going to be really bad, and you see it, you see where they're going to end up. You see that this is a sin that is going to bog them down and take them away from God. You're supposed to speak. That's what Galatians 6 says. We're supposed to be God's messenger in that moment and say, "Listen, hard conversation for me to have. I love you, but I see how you're living. I see your relationship with this person you're not married to. I see this, I see that. I love you. Maybe I'm way out of line here. I know I am, but listen, this is what God's word says. This is what you're doing. This is where you're going to end up. Turn away from that and come back." Maybe that's a hard conversation. If you've ever had that conversation with someone, you know how it is. You go into it with fear and trembling. Not a fun conversation. We're called to do that. Again, Galatians 6, other verses that say specifically that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be God's messengers also to other Christians around us who maybe they're not on a path for destruction. Maybe they're not being totally, totally misled and falling into a deep sin and they don't see it. But maybe there are other Christians that need to be built up. Isn't that the second half of the Great Commission? Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded with you. So the people around you who are Christians, you're called to help them know God better, to read their Bibles more, to pray, to fast, to talk about Jesus to other people, to imitate Jesus in their lives. You're called to speak God's word to them and help them become more like Jesus. And what's the first part of the Great Commission? Help people who are far from God come close to God. We're called to help the people in our lives who are far from God, the people around you who you work with. Who are they? Who are the people that are around you who are far from God, that you see every day, that you rub shoulders with, that you're friendly with, who are part of your family? We're called to help those people who are around us come close to Jesus, to make them followers of Jesus. And that involves speaking about Jesus to them. We're called to the people around us. And so what do we do when we talk about Jesus to those people and they blow us off? They say, whatever. No, nope, not interested. And so we keep the friendship. But what do we do when that happens? Look at what he says now. Continue. Verse 8. "Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed by their looks, for they are a rebellious house." God says, if people are stubborn in not hearing my word, be more stubborn. Keep saying the same thing. Find a different way to say it, but keep at it. Why? Because we're called to be God's messengers, not to change their hearts. God does that he might do it the first time we speak God's word to them. He might do it the 20th time. We don't know. So we don't say, "Didn't work, tried." No. God says, keep trying. As long as you're around that person, they're part of your life, keep talking. And then we say, who am I to talk? Who am I to tell other people? Because when you start thinking about sitting down with someone who's in sin and far from God and going down a path that's leading them away from God. You say, wait a second, I know myself. Isn't there a verse about taking the thing out of my eye before I take the thing out of their eye? Who am I to sit down with someone with all my imperfections and say, this is what God, the Bible, says about you? Look at what he says in verse 12. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. And it was the sound of the wings of living creatures as they touched one another, and the sound of wheels beside them, and the sound of a great earthquake. Who are we to talk? No one. Why do we talk? Because God, the glorious God of the universe, surrounded by these incredibly majestic creatures, has sent us to be his messengers. And then there's a very helpful part, the next two verses. It's natural to not want to do this. It's natural to hear all of this and something inside of us to go, nah, that's not for me. Look at verse 14. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away. Now listen what he's going to say, but think about it. He's just seen a vision of God. God has just said, here's my word, internalize it. I'm sending you to be my messenger. Don't you think he would be inspired? But look at his reaction. And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong on me. And I came to the exiles at Tel Aviv who were dwelling by the Chewar Canal. And I sat there where they were dwelling, and I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. He sat there in silence. He didn't say anything. He was angry. He was bitter on the inside. He wasn't happy that he was God's messenger to the people around them. He didn't like that job description. I find that very comforting, because even as God is pulling us in to be his messengers to the people around us, we find words of comfort in that it's natural for our natural human reaction to say, I really don't want to do that. I didn't sign up. I wanted to be saved. I didn't sign up to be God's preacher to the people around me. Didn't sign up to be that crazy religious person. I don't want to do this. And then God comes and says and reminds Ezekiel of why he has to do this. And here's what he says. You're responsible if you don't speak. Listen to this. This is the most sobering passage of Scripture for me in the Bible. One of the most. At the end of 7 days, verse 16, the word of the Lord came to me. So God let him stew for a while. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, look at this, nor speak to warn the wicked man from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor turn from his wicked ways, he shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin, and his righteous deeds that he has not done, that he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood, look at this, I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. You will have delivered your soul. You see what it's saying? You see people around you that God's put in your life who don't know Jesus, and you don't speak to them, they will go to hell. And God will hold you accountable for them. When you see a brother or sister who is on a path to destruction, who's walking away from their faith, and you can see it, and you don't say anything, and they walk away from God, God says, you're responsible. And I didn't do it. Didn't do it. Wasn't me. I was faithful to my spouse, didn't beat my children, didn't steal from my company. I didn't do that. Well, yeah, but you saw them on that path, didn't say anything. I let you see it. I put you around that person at your job for so many years, and you knew they were far from me. You saw it. What God's saying is, when we see something, that's him giving us an assignment. That's him giving us an assignment. And not saying anything is our responsibility. When you're around someone who's a Christian, maybe in your own home, maybe in your social circle, and for years, you don't help them grow in their faith. You don't disciple them. God's going to say, hey, you saw it. You saw it. They were in front of you. And yeah, they're still kind of the same level they were. Well, they didn't grow. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. God's saying you're responsible for what you see. Seeing something that needs to be addressed in the life of someone else is your responsibility. It's in a task that I am giving you. I don't like that. That's what he says. That's why we have to talk. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Actually, let's finish it. Look at verse 22. The hand of the Lord is upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the valley, and there I will speak with you. So I arose, went out into the valley, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory that I had seen by the Chebar Canal, and I fell on my face. But the Spirit... So listen. God gives him one last motivation, and the motivation is, look at my glory. I am the glorious God of the universe, and I'm sending you to speak on my behalf. To speak for me. If anything will motivate you, that should. And when you and I feel unmotivated to speak on behalf of God, it's because we're not seeing God fully. That's when we need to crack open the Bible. That's when we need to pray. That's when we need to sing. That's when we need to desperately beg, God, help me see you so that I feel compelled to be your messenger to the people around me. And when we do, look at verse 24, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and he spoke with me and said to me, go, shut yourself within your house, and you, O son of man, behold, cords will be placed upon you. You shall be bound with them so that you cannot go out among the people. And I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you will be mute and able to reprove them, for they are a rebellious house. So now God's saying, I'm not going to let you talk. And when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. God's saying to Ezekiel, it's kind of his battle plan. My Spirit's going to tell you when to talk and when not to talk. So as we are called to be God's messengers, and as God helps us see people around us who need to hear his word, and as we read his word and he gives us words to speak to them, it ends by saying, listen to the Spirit. Let the Spirit tell you what to say and when to say it and when not to speak and when to in silence pray for that person and when to open your mouth and speak. Let the Spirit lead you and guide you. So if we are God's messengers, what should we do? What should we do? If you're God's child, if you've repented and been baptized and made that decision, you should accept the responsibility that God has made you his messenger to the people around you. And I would challenge you to answer this question prayerfully. Who are the people around you that God has put around you, that he has made you his messenger to? Who are those people? And what is the message God needs to tell them? And is there something that God has been putting on your heart to tell someone, and you've kind of been avoiding it, saying, it's not my responsibility, not my deal, somebody else will talk to them, maybe the elders, maybe the preacher, somebody else needs to talk to them. And God's been showing it to you. How would God have you be his messenger? What does that mean for you right now? And if you aren't God's child, if you've never repented and been baptized, I know it sounds like this would be a Sunday to say this is a reason not to become a Christian, because when you become a Christian, you become God's messenger, and you're on the hook for speaking for God to the people around you. But here's the deal. Here's a reason why this would be a reason for you to become a Christian, because as God's messenger, you have a connection to God. And I know there's people in your life that you love that you know that they, if they could just be connected with God, and when you become connected with God, you can be the link between them and God. And as you become God's messenger to them, you can connect them to the Father. That's a reason to become a Christian. When you're ready to make that decision, tell somebody. God will fill you with his Spirit, and he will make you his messenger to the people around you. Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you this morning, we thank you for this, even though we would rather this sometimes not be the case. Help us, God, to know how to speak and who to speak to and what to say, and give us the courage and give us the words. And God, place on our hearts the conviction that it is our responsibility to speak for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.